The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And a very pleasant good afternoon. We welcome you to Friday. Yes, we have made it to the end of the week. We've pretty much made it to the end of the shortest month of the year. So when we see you again on Monday, it will be March and the madness will be around the corner. We thank you for being a part of the program. And let's get right to it here on a Friday afternoon with so much to do. There are always lists coming out, and you look at these lists and you go, okay. Bill Conley, who was here the other day, and I have a feeling he'll be back, has ranked the top 60 quarterbacks of the 2000. Before we show, just think, who would you, this is college football, not just the SEC. Who would be the best quarterback, best player? If you said Baker Mayfield, you win the prize. I would have said number two or maybe number four, which is Cam Newton and Tim Tebow. By the way, they were both on the same team at one point. Then Urban Meyer decided Cam had to go. Vince Young, number three. Cam, two. Vince, three. Tebow, four. Burrow, five. Deshaun Watson, six. Kyler Murray. Lamar Jackson. Marcus Mariota. And Robert Griffin. I already find major fault with this, but we can talk about that some other time. In other news, he was at Alabama just 2 months ago, making a paltry $2 million a year. Now he's at Texas. Meanwhile, Deion Sanders, that one snuck in on there, I'm sorry. Second game at Jackson State has been postponed due to COVID. That's on the Mississippi Valley, the opponent, Mississippi Valley State from Itabena, Mississippi. Don't ask me how I know. I've covered a game there. Meanwhile, let's get to Sark. He's making some big money, like $34.2 million complete. He's doing well. He has not coached his first game there. Jim Harbaugh, still alive and well and losing. Harbaugh talking about two of his quarterbacks leaving as part of a trend of QBs transferring. Thank you, Jim, for that enlightenment. Meanwhile, there's a new study in college sports that shows what we probably already knew, that there is work to do when it comes to diversity training. So what does the survey say? It says the overall grade for college racial and gender is a C+. Racial hiring, a B. Gender hiring grade, C+. Notable notes on hiring people of color. Division I's increased 10.3%. It's gone from 10.3 to 10.6. That's hardly an increase. Head coaches in Division I for all men's, 15 to 13.6. Head coaches, pretty much the same for women. So what do we have in store for you today other than phone calls in a moment? We have Cole Kublik will join us in a couple of minutes. Always great to talk to Cole about the upcoming spring drills and the upcoming college football season. It is never too early. Lenardi is here. And he'll tell you where Alabama is seated, probably where they started the week. Tim May, colorful character from Buckeye Land, will join us. And a man who's quickly becoming one of our favorite guests. He is Eric Musselman off the big win against Alabama, and Coach Musselman will join us in 3 hours from whether Arkansas is at home or not. I'll double check that in a second, but we will talk to him at the 6 o'clock hour, 5 Eastern time for you folks in Arkansas. It has been a busy week on the program. We're really proud of some of the guests that we have had. We hope you have enjoyed them as well. So let's begin our week in review.
Recruiting is the lifeblood of any program. And so if you're not able to have families and young men and women visit your campus and look coaches in the eye and talk to our academic people and see all the great things that are on all of our campuses, we're really doing a disservice to those young people, let alone our programs. And so my point, my frustration is we've heard of kick the can down the road. Paul, the can is at the end of the driveway. Like, we can't kick it any further. And so to further delay without any clarity on what happens, it's one thing to delay to May 31st, but what happens on June 1st? Where's the plan? Where's the clarity? And so that's really where we need to get to, and those conversations need to happen.
And that was Ross Bjork, of course, from Texas A&M. Jack Swarbrick was also with us this week, one of the most influential men in college athletics. He's the vice chancellor and director of athletics at Notre Dame.
I think when the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Notre Dames, the USCs, whoever they are, get in periods where they're really good, I think that's great for college athletics. What we can't have is the sense of other schools that they can't make it in. And we've got to make sure that opportunity is real and schools feel like they can get there. So eventually an expanded playoff will hopefully create that greater opportunity.
Jack Swarbrick, also this week, the SEC featured Derek Torres, the great swimmer from the University of Florida, countless Olympian, a number of comebacks. She joined us from her home in California.
The biggest piece of advice I give is don't be afraid to talk about it. I think I was so ashamed that I had it. I don't know how many people actually knew in college. I think probably my roommate knew and stuff, but I don't think a lot of people knew that I had this problem in college. And if I had spoken up about it, you know, at the beginning, at the get-go, or at some point during my college career, I could have gotten help quicker. And I realized as I got older that people aren't ashamed of you. They want to help you. And I couldn't get that through my head when I was in college. And so, like I said, when I go and give talks, it's like, open up. Don't be afraid to talk about something that you're going through, because you're never going to get through it if you don't get help.
We also had a very special visit with they were young men at the time, back in 1968 when they signed and broke the color barrier at the University of Florida. They joined us this week to reflect back more than 50 years.
The first athletes was actually Ron Coleman and Johnny Brown. They were on the track team. That helped us to deal with a lot of stuff, because they actually were the first athletes. And besides, we only had a few black students at that time, too. And so that all of that made that more of like a family atmosphere. You know, you're going to LSU, you're going to Mississippi, and all this kind of stuff. Like, this is something when you see all of that. And you realize that, you know, you're the only ones on the field, and you're the first ones to be there. So that was something when that happened.
Leonard George and Willie Jackson joining us earlier this week. Let's take some phone calls here, then we'll get to guests a little bit later. And the phone number is 855-242-7285. Ron is in Kentucky. Ron, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, Paul, it's been a long time since I've been talking to you. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine, but I must tell you, I'm worried about you. I know we've had many conversations. You've been battling some pretty serious neurological issues. How are you doing?
Well, pretty well, Paul. My sleep has been bad, and a lot of times I go to bed and I never go to sleep at all. It's been frustrating, but I always look forward to listening to you or watching your program.
Well, thank you, Ron. You hang in there, my friend.
What my question I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about the direction of UK football?
Ron, and interestingly, I feel great about it. And I was a little quick to jump to conclusions last year when Kentucky had some pretty nasty losses. What I didn't realize at the time, what was going on inside, and we all know the courageous fight that Coach John lost and Coach Lerman, and it just, I didn't understand until later how that had affected the team and obviously the line that he coached. And I think ultimately, Coach Stoops was able to navigate this club to the end of the season. And I think they had a good recruiting class, and I really feel good about the future.
Well, I certainly do. Anybody that follows football in Kentucky has to be excited about the future, particularly when you compare it to the past.
Yeah, no, I think you were going to get some outliers during the COVID year, and I think Kentucky fell victim to it a little bit for some of the reasons I've said and some others. I mean, they had that huge win at Tennessee, and then they just couldn't back it up. They lost a couple of really unexplainable games. But Ron, please stay in touch, and I always love hearing from you.
Well, it's always good to hear you, Paul. I hadn't talked to you in quite a while. Thank you.
I'll be thinking of you and hoping that you can continue to get a little progress. Hey, thank you, Ron, for the call. Ron's been a caller for a long time. He's battling a very serious illness up in Kentucky, and we hope and pray for the best. Let's take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We have a long way to go here. Many guests, including Cole Kubik, who will join us in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, we welcome you back. So it's really good to have all of you here on a Friday afternoon. And Cole Kubik joining us shortly. Then we'll talk to Joe Lenardi about bracketology. We are, 2 weeks away, 2 weeks and 2 days away from Selection Sunday. So things are starting to happen very, very quickly. And let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And John is in Louisville, and you are on the air. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. And by the way you handled that last call is what makes your show and particularly you so special.
Thank you, John.
I imagine that meant a lot to Ron and his family.
Appreciate you saying he's been calling for a very long time, John, and he's got some pretty serious things going on as you heard.
Yeah, he'll be in my prayers just listening to you both. First, I do want to ask you about LSU, but first I wanted to compliment you on all the basketball analysts you've had on lately.
Thank you.
I think it's just great leading up to the March Madness. I do kind of laugh a little bit in the sense that you'll have one guest on one day and he'll say, look out for Alabama, and then they lose. Then you'll have another one saying, here comes Missouri, and they lose, and look out for Tennessee, and it's almost like a no-hitter where the announcer doesn't want to mention it.
Well, John, I think what it really means is that the SEC has three very good schools, maybe even more than that if you get beyond that. But the road is very difficult, and Of course, so was home. Missouri lost at home the other night, as you know. And I think some of it is COVID, but I have seen some of the strangest results this year in the SEC.
Yeah, and I'm going to just add my opinion. I think there's not two, but three top teams, and then everyone below them. I saw Michigan dismantle, Iowa last night. Just unbelievable. And they beat, that's a number 19. They beat who? Number four, Ohio State. And I would say those three teams I look at on an equal basis, and I think those three coaches should be considered, one of them at least, for the final coach of the year. I mean, they're just doing amazing work over there.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Oates and Musselman are almost on the same level as far as what they have done. Neither program was expected to do very well. And look at them. And I think that's a tough choice to make, trying to pick one over the other.
Here's my question on LSU. And this, you know, I saw the Miles article earlier, and I think I read today that South Carolina is going to get off pretty light with their probation because they cooperate. But what I understand from LSU is you have three issues. You have the, last December they self-imposed a bowl ban. I don't know how you do that with a 5-5 record, but it was based on the payouts a booster gave to a player back a couple years back, and that's under NCAA investigation right now. Then you got the basketball issue where the coach is on FBI tape, and you know what he said, and he refused for a month to cooperate, and they reward him with an adjustment to his contract and taking away his bonus. And that's going to be under NCAA investigation at some point. Maybe it is. And then you've got the horrible USA story about the multiple sexual issues, assaults, and other harassment. And that's under the review of a private law firm, and it's just made even worse by Les Miles. My question, are all those three possibly going to get put in one basket, and there's maybe a death penalty coming up?
John, no. I would think there is no possibility of that. I don't want to say they're not going to be put in the same basket because they are the same school. And, you know, if you start talking about a lack of institutional control, it applies from the top down. But I think the football issue is separate. I mean, really, there are two football issues. You have the situation after the national championship a year ago, and I think it was Odell Beckham. I think that's right. That was handing out fake money. They said it turned out to be real money. I think that's a minor deal. I think that can be explained in the moment. The basketball situation is serious, and it's lingering. And even though, you know, some people are arguing, well, Will Wade wasn't called to testify, and that would absolve him. I'm not sure it's as easy as that. Now, the third situation is the Title IX investigation. And I think this is, of all those, the most problematic because it deals with the culture of the school. It deals with the mentality. It also, I don't know whether, it directly links. I don't think it directly links Ed Orgeron, but he was certainly on Les Miles' staff in 15 and 16 when some of these allegations occurred. Now, the one thing the school could argue is there's a new athletic director. Things have been cleaned up. But that will not absolve them of some of the more serious allegations if they can be proven.
Yeah, the Department of Education will clean their clock with the investigation.
Exactly.
They're like an FBI they get in there.
And I'll say one more thing, John. And I am not an expert on Title IX law, but I do know one thing. I'm guessing, this is just a guess here, that LSU was not helped by the change in administration.
No. Paul, thank you for a great month of interviews and callers. It was really enjoyable. I look forward to March.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the call. Let's check in with Jack, who is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Yeah. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great.
So I just finished up watching the Tennessee versus Florida volleyball game for women's.
Right.
I was just curious if you thought that the Tennessee volleyball team played to their full potential.
You know, We had it on, obviously. We were watching it because we've been, if primarily because it had gone long, we would have come on later. I am going to give the Tennessee women credit. They played great. The only problem with Tennessee's effort, Florida is a much better team.
They definitely did. I think Florida was definitely ranked better. But I thought that the libero for our team just did not meet up to her potential for the game.
Well, anyway, my expertise on volleyball is you could put in a thimble, so I will defer to you on that. Hey, we're up against a break. We have a lot to do on the program, including a conversation with Cole Kublik. Don't forget Joe Lenardi in about an hour or under an hour. We look forward to chatting with the leading expert on bracketology. This is a busy time of the year for him. And many more guests, including Coach Musselman, later in the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Never too early to talk about spring football and in the upcoming season, and who better to talk to than Cole Kublik, who covers college football year-round. He's got a game tomorrow. And, Cole, it's always good to see you. What's been going on?
Oh, not too much, Paul. I want you to lower your expectation. I don't expect to meet what Pat Smith did a week ago on your show, but I'm going to try to live up to it here today.
Yeah, I know you and Pat worked together on WJOX in Birmingham on Three Man Front, and he was with us in our final hour last Friday night. And I'm pretty partial, but it was a nostalgia tour back to the early days of this show, and I had a blast just sitting back and listening to him.
That was for listeners. That was radio history. I mean, that was a college course in radio history, especially in this part of the country and now obviously nationally. But with what you guys started, the way you started it, and then to hear some of those stories of different things that were happening as the show got off its feet and as you guys grew and grew, I was locked in my radio. I stayed in my car when I pulled into my driveway to hear that last segment when you asked them to join you one more time, because I just wanted to hear about some of the good old days. Paul, it was really cool, and I appreciated you guys doing it.
Well, thank you for mentioning it, and it was extremely special. Cole, let's talk about the spring, but before we do that, I want to talk about Auburn. Everyone knows you played there and were captain, and obviously you still have strong ties to that program. Describe what the reaction in the state has been like to Brian Harsin, and how do you think it's going to go for him?
I think the reaction, Paul, has been mostly positive, and it was uncertainty at first because there's not a lot of people in this footprint that know a lot about what Brian Harsin has done, be it play at Boise, coach at Boise, coach at Texas. They may have known a little bit about him at Arkansas State. He actually played against Auburn when he was coaching at Arkansas State. But there are just a lot of unknowns. And then I think he comes in, you get a press conference or two, you hear the way he addresses some folks, you hear some interviews from other people that know him. And then, obviously, you see the staff that he puts together, and I think that begins to build some confidence. And now that the previous class is done, you're seeing him lay the groundwork for recruiting in the future. And I think the positive momentum for Auburn fans is building. And I've spoken to some of my former teammates, and one of the things that we're all excited about is seeing Brian Harsin out there in winter workouts. Which, by the way, I just heard John Rice Plumlee on your show a second ago say that he went to watch winter workouts, and he was over on the side cheering them on. I can't imagine anything more miserable as a football player than one guy that I have shared the field with coming in there and watching us go through winter workouts. I know the baseball part of it, but I thought that was hilarious. But to see Brian Harsin leading drills in winter workouts and just being more involved and a guy that wants to be there in every aspect of what they're doing. And I think the vibes, the conversation, the feeling, the emotions coming out of the football facility are very positive right now. As you know, it's all going to come down to winning football games. They're going to lack some depth and some prowess at the wide receiver position. The O-line needs to be reshaped. They're going to start well with Tank Bigsby, but after he and Bo Nix, there are a lot of question marks on the offensive side of the football. And, of course, Derek Mason is going to have a little bit of work to do with the defensive line that needs to be retooled. But positive momentum, I think, is gaining around Brian Harsin here in the state of Alabama.
What's going to happen at the quarterback position, Cole?
As of now, I believe you have to say it's Bo Nix, but I don't think that this job will be handed to Bo Nix. And I think one reason you can say that is Grant Loy, who decided to come back and take advantage of an extra year of eligibility. Grant put up good numbers at Bowling Green, and we had Auburn, I think, three times last year, and I talked to Gus a couple other times. Every time we spoke to Chad Morris or Gus Malzahn, they raved about this young man. Big, physical kid. He's got a huge arm. He can push it down the field. I'm not saying he's more talented than Bo Nix. I'm not saying that I think he'll beat Bo Nix out. I think he'll be given a fair shake to go get the job. And if there's a quarterback in the portal that Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo think that they can go get that might be able to play, I think they go get another QB and put him on the roster, number one, to compete. Number two, we've seen how many quarterbacks in the SEC have been knocked out of action in the last few years. You almost need to have a backup for some portion of the season just to be able to hold things together, if not take over. And I think Bo Nix is going to have to fight for that job. Paul, Bo Nix has a lot of talent. Bo Nix does a lot of things well. But if Bo Nix does not play quarterback the way that Mike Bobo wants him to and Brian Harsin expects him to, then he won't be the starting quarterback at Auburn. He is going to need to do a great job of accepting coaching in the next 5 or 6 months if he's going to retain his spot as the Auburn starter.
Talking to Cole Kublik, Cole, who in the West or which teams are the most serious challengers to Alabama?
A&M is still going to be there. I think if Kenyon Green stays at guard, Layden Robinson comes in at the other guard, they'll have the best tandem of guards in the SEC, quite possibly college football. If you go back and watch what Layden did when he played against South Carolina coming in due to injury, he was fantastic. And Kenyon Green was the best offensive lineman in the SEC last year. You still have Spiller. You're going to have a deeper room of tight ends as Kupp's going to come back off injury. Weidermeyer's back there. I don't love the receivers. I don't know. I don't think they have a ton of juice compared to some of the other teams in the SEC, but I believe Jimbo Fisher can work around that. And yes, you have to replace Kellen Mond, the most productive quarterback in school history, but there's a couple guys there with some talent that I think have the potential to be able to come in now with a few years under Jimbo to understand that super thick playbook that he has and be able to make the offense go. And the good news is on the other side of the ball, you got everybody back. I mean, you lose Bobby Brown and Buddy Johnson. I mean, you lose two guys on a defense that played good football last year. So I would anticipate that the defense is going to take big steps for Texas A&M. And if there's a bit of an outlier, I would go with LSU. I think Max Johnson did a lot to really impress me towards the end of last season. Most of the offensive line's back. But you got a wide receiver, Paul, that's caught for more yards in a single SEC game in the history of the league. And Keyshawn Boutte, Dre Jenkins, I think is going to be solid out there. And there's talent all over the place on defense for LSU. They just have to accept that new coaching and learn the system as fast as possible.
What about the East, Cole?
I think it's Georgia's to lose, Paul. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure I see another team that really is going to be very close. Georgia's got the best defensive line in college football returning. I know there's holes in the secondary. Good, talented offensive line. Coach Luke will have those guys ready. Washington back at tight end, big physical target that can help you do different things. You got all kind of weapons at wide receiver. And with Burton and Pickens back, I think that group's going to be phenomenal. And now you know who your quarterback is. Last year it was, well, can we just get by with this walk-on? Are we waiting for our real starter to be healthy? Do we want to keep another quarterback on the roster? Now Coach Monken can go through this entire offseason knowing exactly who his guy is and exactly what that offense is going to look like. Paul, I might have Georgia as my number one team in college football right now heading into the season, and I'm not sure there's another team that's really going to be close to them in the East. I do think Kentucky is going to take big steps. They may finally have a guy with some juice on the outside. Quarterback Bo Allen's getting it down the field a little bit better than what they've had with Terry Wilson in the past. Explosive running back in Chris Rodriguez. You only lose Drake Jackson on that offensive line. And Brad White's the most underrated defensive coordinator in the league, and he's got the majority of that group back on that side of the ball. So I think it's Georgia, then maybe Kentucky or Florida, but I still think it's a big step down to those next two.
And let me get one final thought here from you about Tennessee. And you know, we've been talking for over a month now about Josh Heupel. Where is this program considering the mass exodus? So they lost a key player to Auburn this week and so many players in the portal.
It's not in a good place. There is not a lot around Tennessee football right now, Paul, that if you're their opponent scares you, or if you are on their side that generates a lot of energy. Josh Heupel's a brilliant offensive mind. He will change that part of that team. It's going to be the responsibility and a lot of other individuals to change the rest of that team, and it's going to be the responsibility of he and everyone around him really and truly to change the athletic department, and I think that's what might be most broken. When you look at the way that that investigation went down, that Jeremy Pruitt was sort of pushed out, and the way the fallout from all of that, I mean, you have to be nervous about the leadership from the top down inside the Tennessee athletic department. Josh Heupel is going to be able to call plays, and he's going to get guys that fit his system. The offense is going to look totally different. That's something that I think could be exciting by midseason to the end of the season. But I don't know what you're too excited about that gets you going, that revs your engine, Paul, early on. I mean, ask any SEC football fan, like, who scares you on the Tennessee football team? They might give you a Cade Mays, but they're not going to be able to give you one guy at every position group or three or four guys on each side of the football. The majority of the talent has left, and there's just not much there that has proven themselves in SEC play. It's going to be extremely scary. This is going to be a massive overhaul. This is not a rebuild, Paul. This is an overhaul. It was still being rebuilt by Jeremy Pruitt. Now you have to go overhaul the rebuild. Josh Heupel needs patience more than anything else. He needs everyone pulling in the same direction, and he needs patience from the administration, from the fan base, probably from the people who work with him, because it's going to be frustrating. And that was an issue the last time around. Those people inside those walls that work with Josh Heupel, they are going to have to offer him a lot of patience, because this will not be easy and obviously going to be frustrating at multiple times the next few seasons.
Cole Kublik winning a lot of friends today in Athens, Georgia. We'll see the reaction to that. Cole, it's always great to have you on. Be well, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it.
You got it. Wow, what an incredible conversation with Cole, and we will take a break, get your reaction to all of this. More after this, and your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to the program on a Friday afternoon. Michael is up next in Indianapolis. So, hello, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, thank you for the call.
I'm a doctor, and let me explain a little bit. And I was listening to some of your callers, and there was a caller about maybe four or five calls ago. I think he was a pretty frequent listener to you.
Yeah, from Kentucky.
Neurological problems, he couldn't sleep.
Right.
Well, for whatever reason, doctors are terrible at diagnosing what causes 95% of the problems with going to sleep. It's called restless leg syndrome. I'm a neuro specialist. It's very easy to treat, and it just never gets diagnosed for some strange reason. But because he sounded in quite a bit of distress, I thought I should call and pass along some knowledge.
So I'm glad you did, Doctor. So for all of us listening, and whether we have neurological issues or not, how do you deal with it?
Well, you go see somebody who knows what the hell they're doing, first of all.
Okay. That's always a good start with a doctor.
Huh?
I said that's...
I am a doctor, so I can say that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah, he needs to see a neurologist in his area, and they will quickly diagnose this. It's easily treated with non-sleeping pills. You inherit a gene from your ancestors that knock out a receptor in the brainstem that doesn't work properly. They're called dopamine 3 receptors, and a drug called Requip or Ropinolol is one of the leading medicines I use. Works like a charm, and people begin to sleep normally.
I'm curious, Doctor, and I have a feeling I know the answer. How prevalent is sleeping issues with people?
Well, this syndrome is present in about 10 to 15% of the general population. So okay. Over the age of 18. So that's, what's that, about 30 million people? That's a lot of people. But it never gets diagnosed for some odd reason.
Is there any, just for all the rest of us who hopefully do not have neurological issues, is there anything you would advise? I'm not trying to turn you into a sleep specialist, but it sounds like you do know a lot about it. What are there any do's and don'ts before you go to sleep?
Well, with this syndrome, when you lay down, like I said, there's a receptor in the brainstem that doesn't work, and
right.
You move your feet, your toes, your arms, hands, fingers. And some people, if they've done it so long, they don't realize they do it. And so why that causes your limbs to move, I don't know. Nobody knows. But if you get on the right medicine, within a few weeks, you're sleeping normally.
Well, thank you for that advice. I appreciate it.
But if you know this guy, or I hope he heard what I have had to say, because it's simple to treat, but you have to go to the right doctor.
Okay, well, I trust that he is still listening, and let's hope that he has helped.
Would you mind? I'd be happy to list my phone number so you can call me if he wants to. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, if you don't mind, that would be great.
I don't mind. I don't mind. My number is 317-223-7266. I bet I've treated probably 18,000 people with this.
That's amazing.
It's just very common, but nobody ever diagnoses it for some damn reason.
Well, I hope that changed. Doctor, thank you very much for calling, and we appreciate your help.
I'm an old guy. Been practicing for 44 years. I know a lot about sports history and stuff. Maybe you want to have me on your show for free sometime. I'd be happy to do it.
I love it. Absolutely.
Take care.
Thank you.
Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I took the number down myself. I mean, who doesn't have some issue with sleeping? I replay the show every night, and that's why I can't get to sleep. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's check in with Jack, who is up next in Florida. Hello, Jack.
Yes, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Paul, I'm not sure that we recognize the significance of the Steve Sarkisian hiring at Texas and what it really means. And I grew up in Texas, played football in high school, played on the baseball team at Texas. Texas has been under the ghost of Daryl Royal. It has never gotten to the point of recognizing that they have to hire a coach that is cut from the cloth of the controlling type coaches that are successful today, like Saban and Dabo and Matt Meyer. Those guys are all control freaks, and that's why that's one reason why they were so great. I think Sarkisian is going to be the first coach who is controlling enough and skilled enough to get control of the Texas program. And as you know, everything in Texas is oversized. The egos, the wallets, the expectations, even the French fries. You get, at a typical McDonald's, you get 45 or 50 French fries in Texas. Anywhere else, you get 10 or 15. I mean, everything in Texas is oversized and is hard to get control of. And that's been the problem. They hired the next guy up. They hired Charlie Strong from Louisville. They hired Tom Herman from Houston. Those were good football coaches. The problem is they're not either larger than life.
How did Mack Brown fit into that box? Because I mean, he did really well for a while.
Yeah, he was good, and he did a good solid job. But what they've missed is. This would make Saban such an exceptional coach, is he gets total and complete control of his program with no...
But, Jack, can you get total control of that program?
that is the question. And the issue is, if they ever do, look out, because Texas has incredible resourcing. And I thought John Gruden would have been – I thought John Gruden was like an outgoing Nick Saban. I thought I wanted an unorthodox choice for that position, because it's such a – Texans are so egotistical and overconfident about it. They need a guy like that, unless they can get a guy like Sarkisian.
Well, Jack, I hate to run. We're up against a break, but interesting topic. We'll take a break. Lenardi in the next hour.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.